The following is a public service announcement. If you are part of a large group of friends partying, you might be in a slasher movie. If you find yourself making quips that on paper should be funny, but when delivered end up falling flat, you might be in a slasher movie. If you've seen exactly 7 boobs today, you might be in a slasher movie. If you are in your late teens to early 20s, you should know that slashers can strike at any time. Large, hate-filled serial killers are out there, roaming the plains, cities, and swamps of America, just looking for a new party to crash. If you or someone you love believe yourself to be caught in the midst of a slasher movie, make peace with your God, because there is no escape. If you aren't killed this time, you will be in one of the next 4 movies.
Is this a metal thing?
Yes.
A little taste.
David, what is this?
Pretty thick.
Great, great.
About to kill a lot of people. Just tell me what you want me to fuck.
I have big dick and a tiny vagina.
Oil me up, daddy.
I can't believe that Bryce prefers
big tits.
Mistletoe alert.
This is butt country.
This guy was a real jerk.
How long can Hugo be pregnant?
Chomp, 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 chomp.
Oh, she's such a dick, David.
Okay, everybody, put on your corpse handling gloves.
Ew.
Hoodie Picasso.
Horror.
Hello and welcome to Horror Movie Talk, your panel of expert hosts. This week and each week and every week are me, David Day. I'm the foremost expert in scare no-nos, and across the great grand state of Washington from me sits my co-host, Bryce Hansen. He has a PhD, and it's in a thing called spookology, so we're professionals, and we know it. New theatrical releases always get priority, but sometimes we head on back to the little old ditties that brought us to where we are today. We've got a great show for you today. We will be reviewing the now somehow classic homage slasher from 2006, Hatchet. That's right. But first, you guys should check us out at our website, horrormovietalk.com. From there, you got links to all the stuff that's important. You can follow us here and there and everywhere. You can follow us in a hat with a bat. Not a spear. How about that? You know what, though? We really need to thank our new patrons this week. We got Alex R. We have Taylor W. We have Taylor W. Wait. That's 2 Taylor W's supporting us on Patreon in the same week. One is spelled T-A-E apostrophe L-O-R, and one is spelled T-A-Y-L-O-R. So thank you both, Taylors.
Are we sure that they didn't just change genders?
I don't know that one denotes... I think that's a little sexist.
Maybe they're in their transition period.
Yeah, maybe don't assume anything, because
that's true.
That's kind of a really cis white male thing of you to do.
Taylor, you just let us know your pronouns and when you're ready to come out in public.
Also, thank you, Derek J. and Liz C. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We really appreciate it, and we always get pronouns wrong. It's not by design. It's just by happenstance. It's because we're horrible people. We post new episodes every single Wednesday, so make sure to drop us a nice review like Manny does so frequently. And if you want to give us a call, do so by calling us at 682-253-4468. We start off each episode giving a brief review and our score for the movie, scoring a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being bad, 10 being good, 5 being average. And after we give our score, we'll get into spoilers, take a deeper dive into what we liked, hated about the film. Later in this episode, we'll be doing kind of a new bit. It's called "What Would You Do?" And I'll be posing some questions to Bryce and to myself about what we would do in certain slasher situations.
I thought you would have kept on going with the "you might be in a slasher movie."
I don't remember
just
that.
Just have a full. You just did. That's what your opening ad was.
Yeah.
You, I'm slightly disappointed that you didn't go full Foxworthy with it, you know.
Oh.
If you've seen exactly seven boobs today, you might be in a slasher movie.
Dude, it's so crazy. We have some new friends out here where we moved to, and they're much younger than us. Yeah. And
big Jeff Foxworthy fans.
No, it's like it's just never been so apparent how old you are when you're like, you know, the president's the United States of America, and they're like, are you talking about like Bill Clinton? And you're like, oh, I'm really old. And they're like, and you're like, and when you never stop talking about Creed and they have no idea what you're talking about, that's a big sign too. You're like, you know how cool Creed is? And they're like, what? Nickelback? It's a joke. See, this gets me into a lot of trouble. People just can't tell when I'm being sarcastic.
See, it's come full circle now on the internet. Like, now it's not cool to make fun of Creed and Nickelback anymore. Because people are like, you know what? They're actually pretty good. We've been unfair to Nickelback. And to be honest, I think we might have been too harsh on Nickelback, especially. Creed is a piece of trash, but
whoa.
What
about POD?
POD?
Yeah, no, you don't know. Okay.
Pissed him of a down?
No, pissed him of a down. We watched Hatchet on Tubi, and we're treated to one of the most generic comedic slashers I've ever seen in my entire life. So, without any further ado, here is the trailer.
Once upon a time, there was a boy named Victor Crowley. Folks weren't too kind of Victor, so he stayed hidden in his daddy's house, out in the bayou. One night, some mean children came to his house, and there was a bad fire. When his daddy chopped down the door to save him, he didn't know Victor was pressed against the other side. And poor Victor Crowley died. They say people disappear in those woods. And legend has it, if you get close enough to the old Crowley house at night, you can still hear Victor Crowley roaming in the woods, crying for his dad.
I want to go home. We're all gonna die.
What a trailer. Crazy.
They showed way too much.
Now I understand too much of the thing that I didn't want to know too much about.
Yeah, also, I'll give a plug again to Hoopla. It's also on for free on Hoopla.
Is there, like, do you have an app on your TV for that, or do you cast it?
It's got an app for everything, so it's got an app on my TV, on your phone, on your desktop. You can watch it pretty much anywhere. You just have to see, like, whenever I mention Hoopla or Canopy, they're like, okay, I'm not poor, so I don't use the library. It's like, just, you know, if it's been a while since you've been to a library, you should go get your library card and realize how awesome it is.
Here's a bit of the issue. So, like, I will use the library for, to check out books. But most of the books that a lot of times the only version of the book that's available at the library is an e-reader book. So I'll check it out via e-reader. But it's a little bit of a convoluted process. So in my head, Hoopla is a convoluted process because it's part of the library.
It's not. I mean, it's not perfect in terms of, like, finding stuff. Like, their search engine is not great. Like, I think I searched for Hatchet and found Hatchet 2 and 3, but it didn't show the first one. But I found it if I looked at the list of movies alphabetically.
Well, to be fair, that was my experience on Tubi as well. So, not doesn't sound like too much of a detriment. The synopsis for Hatchet goes, 20-somethings are in New Orleans and decide it will be fun to go on a haunted swamp tour. What they don't realize is that this is Victor Crowley's, played by Kane Hodder's, swamp. Who is Victor Crowley? Well, besides being a close personal friend of Ozzy Osbourne, he is a troubled man who lives in a troubled life of cruelty inflicted upon him by local kids. Victor's ghost? Question mark? Now haunts the swamp where he was tragically killed by happenstance and tragedy. Also intentional murder. Everyone gets way more ripped apart than they bargained for. My review for Hatchet goes, I chose to review Hatchet because I'm having a hard time in my personal life, and this seemed like the kind of thing that I could handle. I was right. There is nothing here to make me feel feelings. Just mindless distraction in the form of sex, violence, and heinous monstrosities against God. The comedy is without feeling. The violence without warrant. The concept is as old as film. Monster bad, but monster also tragic. But also get out of my swamp. There are attempts at comedy that do not land. There is gratuitous violence that sloshes buckets of blood all over the place. There are even hot girls shooting softcore porno. Adam Green is the director of Hatchet, which is clearly an homage to 80s and 90s slashers, the likes of Candyman, A Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, etc. Green manages to conjure all of the basics from these legendary slasher titles with absolutely none of the heart of any of them. Horror icons Kane Hodder, Robert Englund, and Tony Todd are featured in Hatchet. Robert Englund and Tony Todd as cameos, and Hodder as Victor himself. As I mentioned earlier, Todd and Englund, this is as boring and lifeless a movie as I can imagine, and it helped me through a tough time. Sometimes a mindless waste of time filled with brimming buckets of blood is exactly what the doctor ordered. Hatchet proves that movies don't have to be good or fun or anything but a waste of time, and that's what this is. I give this a 4 out of 10. How did you like Hatchet?
Yeah, it's so funny because, like, I agree with everything you said, but the comedy landed for me because, like, I was in kind of the perfect mood for this. It's like, if you sit down and, like, watch it with concerted effort and judge it, no, it's not going to be good. If you, like, this is one of those where if you come by it, like browsing through cable or just put it on the background, it's a fun time. Like, it's, and the comedy is low effort, but I got to say, I mean, I think the actors had good timing. They sold the jokes for me. I chuckled several times. like when the guy is hitting on one of the girls and then she starts itching or scratching her crotch. She's like, God damn it. Not again. Damn.
I knew it was the crabs. I mean, it just doesn't, none of it landed for me.
It's all very low effort. It's very like, okay, here's what it is. It's like friend style comedy. It's very low effort, like personality driven, like I'm smarter than you. And it's just basically a formula and timing, and they used it. I'm not saying it's anything hilarious or like groundbreaking, but I think it was fine.
So for those of you who don't know, we have a Facebook group called the Horror Movie Talk Facebook group, and on it there's tons and tons of fans who are sharing memes, making memes about the show, about movies, about horror, and it's a good time over there. And there's a growing divide, or maybe just camps are being established. And sometimes you'll get these memes that are like, I can't believe that Bryce gave this movie this score, or David is wrong about bats in a zombie apocalypse, or yada, yada, yada. Well, here's something to add to the flames of that fire. And it'll just be helpful for everyone to know. Bryce hates Friends. He hates the show, the 90s show Friends, more than anyone you've met.
Okay, this is too strong. I don't hate Friends. I've never watched it, and anytime I come across it, it's not that funny to me. Like, I get it. If you're watching a sitcom, it's pretty necessary to get acclimated to all the personalities, and like the setups work a lot better. But if you don't care and you watch Friends, any of the jokes seem like super lame, and like, I don't know. It's that, and like, I'm a Seinfeld guy, and so I'm smarter than you, obviously.
Well, as if I don't like Seinfeld too. Like, it's like, oh, it's there are camps, and Seinfeld people do not like Friends, and Friends people do not like Seinfeld. It's like, what?
That's it. There's a couple. I mean, the pivot scene, like, I've seen that on YouTube. That's fantastic. So, I mean, I'm sure that there's plenty of gold in Friends to be had, but meh.
Friends has a critical thing that that Seinfeld just doesn't have, and it's
can I see one titty? Oh, girl, just give me one titty. Ooh. I just want to see one of your titties, girl.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston
pokes. Oof.
Yeah, any time that I switched by and saw Jennifer Aniston's pokies, I mean, I was definitely watching it, but I wasn't paying attention to anything that was going on.
It was weaponized. Like, them nips were all over the place. It was like her nips each had an assistant, you know, that was like a groom, you know, like a what do you call them, a fluffer.
Yeah, just like, she had a nipple fluffer.
We got to get these nips standing up straight. And Jennifer's like, it's been 6 hours of shooting. You can't expect them to. And then they built like little tiny, out of little toothpicks, little tiny prop up those nips, you know, like, doot, 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 like making little erectors. Lots of nips going on in Friends. Anyway, Bryce hates Friends with a white fiery passion. So
Friends.
From now on, you can just, if you hate Friends too, that makes Bryce's scores all the more good. And if you think that's a ridiculous thing, then that will flavor you that way too. You'll have to think of something to give them about me. Yeah, Hatchet just felt so generic. I just was like, this can't be good. So, what did you give it? Did you land on a number? I forgot.
I mean, it's completely average. Like, I give it a 5. Like, it's not, especially for a slasher, it's not giving away anything more than what you expect. And it's not, like, doesn't fall short on very much. Like, and I think probably, yeah, maybe, I mean, I would have landed on a 3 or 4 if it weren't for the over-the-top practical effects, which are fun. I mean, it's just a fun part of the movie.
Yeah. I guess conceptually, there's just no real meat on these bones. You know, it's just like, it's just so generic. It's like Ghost of Angry, unfortunately gifted boy. I don't know how to say this properly. R word. He's R worded.
He's a real dumb dumb.
Yeah, he definitely, But his dad loved him, and that love was beautiful. And those kids hated him, and that hate was terrible. And it tore the family apart. But it just didn't, it was just nothing. It just felt like so much nothing. And, you know, you can hurt him, but only for a little bit, because they're in his swamp, and in his swamp he can regenerate or something. Like, is he a ghost? Like, that was the other thing. I was like, so he is a poltergeist?
Don't worry about it. It's Kane Hodder. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
You're right. When you're right, you're right. Hey, you guys, you know what?
What?
Well, you know how you're listening to these commercials? Well, you don't have to. If you head on over to our Patreon for the cost of one cup of Starbucks coffee a month, you can support us and get access to a whole nother podcast called The After Pods, where we talk about our lives. Right now it's going to be real juicy, real juicy over there, because David's having mental issues. Hey, come see me break down. And also you get access to these episodes at the $6.66 tier without commercials. So head on over there, support the show, and get access to cool shit. Hey, you know what else I wanted to tell you? Do you want to advertise your online business? Question mark. HMT has openings and reasonable pricing. We have a stellar community who support our sponsors and are excited to see your products. So let us spread the word about your business by contacting us at our email address, info@horrormovietalk.com. You can support the show by getting a shirt or a sticker or a coaster or some crazy crap over at horrormovietalk.com/shop. That's our shop. All that stuff was made by our resident artist, D. Gobes, or Dustin Goebel. He's the professional artist with the Teflon dick. He's got kids.
The ladies just call him the D.
The big D. He's got two kids and a lady to support, so you should probably go at least toss him a follow over on Instagram at dgoebel00. That's at dgoebel00 on Instagram. And, you know, be like, hey, can you draw a picture of me having marital intercourse with Jaws? And he'd be like, I don't want to. And you'd be like, I'll give you money. And then he'd be like, okay, I can do it. Anyway, so do that. Tell them HMT sent you. And give us a call at 682-253-4468. Bryce, bring us in with that crazy spoilers music, because we're doing that now. Spoilers. I'm dead inside from feelings, Bryce.
Home of pirates, drunks, and whores, New Orleans. Tacky, overpriced souvenir stores. If you want to go to hell, you should take that trip to the Sodom and Gomorrah on the Mississippi, New Orleans. Stinking, rotten, vomity, vile, New Orleans. Putrid, brackish, maggoty, foul, New Orleans. Crummy, lousy, rancid, and rank, New Orleans.
The matter, honey?
I can't believe you didn't play that one. Yeah,
nothing. Get
were
you
plan? You're planning on it, because yeah, I can't believe you, it was an oversight.
You didn't. You didn't give me time.
Sorry.
No.
Okay.
No. You not nothing. Nothing cheers me up like The Simpsons. So thank you for that. No. You know, actually, I have a couple just off the, you know, a little bit sidetracky things to say before we get into the meat of this thing. Number one is...
Oh, hey ho, I call it, squirrel. Well, they said you were hungry, Carly.
I don't think it's a squirrel.
It's a mink.
It's a mink.
Really, how do you know?
Probably ran over it.
In medical school, they make you work on animal cadavers before you get to the real thing. It's a mink.
Oh, hey ho, I call it, squirrel.
This reminded me a lot of Wrong Turn.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This was
very much in the same vein.
Yeah, but I gotta say, I liked the characters. This is the fucking, you'll never hear me say this again. I liked the characters in Wrong Turn more than in Hatchet. Like, generic garbage, throwaway, nothing characters from the mid-2000s. I liked them more in Wrong Turn.
Yeah, you know? I mean...
Oh, hey ho.
Oh, hey ho, I called it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're equal to me. And in this one, it's got the... Okay. This is such a flavor of a low-budget movie. It's like the just standard casting for a low-budget horror film. You got the whores, you got the college bros, you got the old couple.
You got the machine legs from Grandma's Boy, same year.
You've got the moody, emo person. And then you've got the comedic relief, which is the guide. It's all like, nothing is surprising here. And like, it's all archetypes, and it's all like, yep, we've got a cavalcade of personalities to murder. Let's get started.
Yeah, and I mean, there are a couple surprises, right? Robert Englund coming in at the start, you're like, oh, that's fucking Freddy Krueger. Gets murdered by Kane Hodder. That's interesting.
I gotta say, one of the parts that I did laugh at was Tony Todd's entrance and his cameo, which is great.
Yeah, yeah, that was an actual like a laugh. You know, like I was like, okay, because okay, so Tony Todd, Candyman is, I mean, he's just a good actor. Like he's a good actor who cares about his craft deeply and kind of didn't get the amount of like attention that he really deserved. So you have to make do with his kind of cameos in stuff. Like he makes a couple cameos in Deep Space Nine that are just like, oh, this is so fun. Like they had to build like a very specific like backdrop for Tony Todd in Deep Space Nine to showcase his fucking chops, which are really good. And in this, it's like the same. You're just like, oh, there's the diamond in this movie. It's not Robert Englund. I mean, Robert Englund's fine, but he's not fucking Tony Todd, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, and the characters are, I mean, Robert Englund's character is generic redneck. And so it's not much scene chewing that you can, scenery chewing that you can do with it.
And it's not far away. It's not far away from Freddy either, you know?
Right.
It's like he says the F word.
Yeah, and that's the thing where it's like Freddy is a huge personality and you just put him into a normal character and it's like it seems so toned down. You're like, but Tony Todd was like he was hamming it up in those 2 minutes that he was on screen. And it's way more comedic and broad than you usually see him. So that's why it was so amusing.
Yeah, Joel David Moore is also the main character of this whole thing, who you all will remember fondly from Grandma's Boy, which is, Adam Sandler production. Very funny. He had machine legs. He was the villain in Grandma's Boy. But also, more than that, he's in both of the Avatar movies and is therefore filthy fucking rich by virtue of the fact that he just fit the bill somehow for James Cameron.
Apparently he was born in Portland, Oregon.
Well, that was a role he had. Was he actually... I don't know, right?
Joel David Moore was born on 25th of September 1977 in Portland, Oregon, USA.
Oregon. Sorry. Yeah, he was also in Dodgeball. So, yeah, he's in this and he's in a couple of these, but I assume he's killed off in maybe the third or fourth one. Also,
what?
So
he's killed off in this one. The end. Spoilers.
But he was in the second and third one. I don't want to say you're wrong, but I just haven't seen the second or third one. And you know how slashers go. It could just be flashbacks. So maybe that's why he's credited in those. Who knows? Another off, not exactly related to this, but I just don't like clowns. Not that I'm scared of clowns necessarily. I just don't like them. I just thought I'd say that at the start of this whole thing. I don't know. How do you feel about clowns?
I'm indifferent to clowns.
Ambivalent on clowns.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives me bad vibes.
I feel like it's not... I don't know. It's like they're not amusing to me. They're not... I guess they're not entertaining, and therefore, like, they're also not scary to me. Because it'd be like if I was able to, like, feel like clowns were entertaining and there was, like, the selling of, like, this innocent goofiness, and then that was turned on its head.
Were you there for the clown incident?
The clown incident?
At our previous place of work at WeO Media? Were you there?
Yes. See, that's what most of clowning is to me. It's like just absolute cringe. It's like, hey, these people that really want to be an entertainer but never like put any effort into it just decided to, well, at least I can act like an ass and wear makeup, and then that counts, right? And then also the other thing is like, okay, I'll take it back. If you've ever been to like an actual circus or like Cirque du Soleil show, there are some impressive performers that are clowns. Like the Cirque du Soleil shows almost depend on the clowns selling their characters, and they're very good. But that's almost like, I mean, that's like professional physical comedy, as opposed to a guy with silk handkerchiefs, like juggling at a kid's birthday party. There's like,
you know how, you know, you'll put the dishes in the sink and there'll be like a layer of like just a sheen of fat over the surface of the water. And then that Dawn dish soap hits that fat, and the fat, I'm the fat. I go, woo. You know, I'm like, ah. As soon as a clown shows up, I ain't there for it. I'm gone. I'm
like, feel like, ah. So here's the thing I was thinking of. Like, in terms of entertainment value and, like, the low barrier to entry for clowns, like, I think if you wanted to be a professional singer, like, probably the lowest of the low would be performing at a bar or performing at a party as like a wedding singer or something like that. And the bar for entry for like, you have to be so good to be able to get paid for it is like considerable. Like you can't just go off the street and be like, well, I'm going to sing now. Clowns, you buy a costume and like, the barrier to entry and like the expectations on like, is this a good clown? No one fucking cares. It's like, no, there's a clown here.
Yeah. It's an American icon. Fuck right. Over it. Get over yourself. He's a clown. What do you want from him? Times are tough for him. Can you leave him alone? It's like a pitiable thing. It's like, can you see what he's doing? He has no dignity at all. Leave him alone. It's like,
yeah,
I can feel
and
it.
It's funny, like, and when funny? You see, when you hear people that are professional clowns, there's just something like, if they're not attached to a show, there's something profoundly depressing about it. Have you ever seen the, that documentary?
Clowning Around?
Meet the Freedmans?
Fockers?
Was it Capturing the Freedmans? Have you ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
So, this really interesting and depressing documentary about, like, an accusation of child molestation and child porn with this one father in this family that taught computer courses back in the early 90s. Like, the long and short of it is, like, the takeaway is, like, you're not quite sure what's true and what's false, because every person interviewed, like, contradicts each other. Like, the police contradict, and also, like, the video evidence of it contradicts what everyone says. But what I'm getting to is one of the sons in it is a professional clown in New York. And so it's this super depressing and like really weighty topic. And then every once in a while, the son will be carting around his clown stuff in like these giant polka dotted pants.
Oh.
He's like, oh no.
So poor gross. Guy. So, shut up, you little queer.
All right.
Is what Robert England says yes. at the start of this movie. It's not what I say ever, because it's a horrible thing to say, but it is very reminiscent of this time in horror. If you are from 2006 and you don't say F-A-G-G-O-T or queer, or you don't say the N-word a lot of times. Sometimes they'll say the N-word or a lot of the R-word, you know, like retired. Everybody uh-huh. is retired in 2006.
Right. I got to say, I'm kind of excited, David. I'm hearing a groundswell of support for
retired
using gay again in common parlance. Like,
it's so
like gay people gay people are starting to like, like, yeah, I mean,
it's
that's
gay,
fine
though.
To say that's gay.
Yeah, it's like, gay.
As long as it's gay, you know.
As long as it is gay. Right. Yeah. That yeah, was the whole point.
You see a guy walking down the street in, like, pink, like, velvet pants and carrying a chihuahua in a mini purse.
That's gay. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what gay. You can't do is point at someone and be like, hey, you little gay. You uh-huh. can't do that. And that makes sense. Why would you? When have you done that? Right? Like, because you're a kind, normal person. You just know when something's gay, it's just gay. You don't use it as a pejorative necessarily. It's just a observational thing.
Right. So I'm, you know, the stuff comes full circle.
So the way Robert England was using it, not okay. But he's Freddy, you know? Anyway, they're gator hunting out in the swamp, him and his boy, who he dislikes a lot. And they get got by Victor Crowley. And I got to say, like, if you're gator hunting at night, there's a real element of you deserve to die. Like, it just... This seems like such a bad idea. Oh, okay. This is the one thing about Hatchet that really worked for me is water in the dark. I won't do it. Mm-mm. No. Water in the dark, not okay. Water in the light, fine. That's great. Water in the dark is the scariest thing that I can think of. In
so,
real life.
Okay, so here's a scenario.
Oh, it just makes me, I want to be the fat again, just like, ah!
So, here's a scenario. You're hanging out with a group of friends, you're in high school, and there's like, you know, you and your boys, but also like the group of girls that like kind of is attached to people, and then you're at your uncle's cabin, and then someone comes up with like, hey, what if we go skinny dipping? It's like, it's a full moon, you know?
No, well, it depends. Is it here? Is it in a river? Is it in a lake here?
It's in a lake.
In the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, it's in the Pacific Northwest.
No problem. I'll do that. That's no problem.
Okay, so what if your uncle's cabin was down in the bayou?
Oh, no. No. Mm-mm. No. No. Have you seen gar? Have you seen what a gar looks like? That's just a fucking fish that swims around out there. They're monstrous and have huge pointy teeth. That's just a fish that's just swimming around. Not to mention the alligators and the snakes. Huh. The water snakes, dude.
See, I still think it'd be worth it because, number one, the likelihood that something's going to attack you is very, very low. But the likelihood of the naked girl freaking out and needing protection from something rubbing against her leg, it's like, I mean, that... I'm just saying, if I was a high schooler, I would look the other way in terms of self-preservation.
Can't bear it. Can't bear the thought of it.
But that's probably the only rationale that I would be able to, like, swim in complete darkness.
So, in this movie, in Hatchet, every time that they're falling into the water, revolted. I do not like that. Because I know there's gators. You know it. You know that he's hunting for gators. I'm just like, no, why? Why would you go in the water... in Louisiana, it's just so many people have gone missing that way. Like, no. Ew. Ugh. Ew, David. So that really bothers me. On the other hand, on the exact flip side of that, they go on a, you know, they're in New Orleans for, what's that party? Mardi Gras. And the old machine legs from Grandma's Boy decides that's not very fun to get drunk and stuff. Instead, he wants to go on a tour. I got something in my eye here. We're on YouTube, by the way. You can see me picking crap out of my eye. He's like, we should go on a tour. And his buddy goes, okay, for some reason, I'll come with you. And so they go on this tour, and like, it's like a haunted swamp tour. And he wants to see, like, lights in the swamp. And I got to tell you, the flip side of me not wanting to go out on the dark water, that dark water, that deep water, that dark water. You go flap around, little fish. You can pull that up. If you wanted to pull that up, if you can play it through the soundboard, I would love you. But on the flip side of me not wanting to be in the dark water is me wanting to see swamp lights very badly. I know that this is a thing, swamp gas reflected off of Mars. Like, I want to see whatever these weird swamp lights are deeply. So I'm at a bit of an impasse because I would very much like to see that. I've never even seen a video of it. I've never thought to look it up. Swamp gas, yeah. Oh, what, do you got it? The flop.
Fat kid, no go. Glass shark, come to that dark water. Get you, fat kid. You swim around, he bite your trunks right off, you tubby little fish. You swim all you want, flop around, glass.
Yeah, it's all chopped up.
Shark gonna come. Yeah. Glass shark behind you, fat kid. You gotta swim. Swim faster. Pretend there's a corn dog at the end of the pool. Get out that dark water.
If it's gonna dark water, that glass
shark coming for you, fat kid.
I mean, it is loaded, it says. It's, oh. Yeah.
Well, it's done. You get the idea. Glass shark gonna get you in that dark water, that deep water.
That dark water.
flap around. That's from my brother and I and me. And yeah. MBMI. And no, I don't know. There's a lot. So there's two girls on this tour who are whores. They are let's see here.
Whore.
They are whores. And they're shooting a softcore porn on.
Yeah, let's just, I mean, they are not shy about the boobs in, like, the first, like, 15 minutes of this movie. Like, it's just...
A lot of boobs.
And they're just, like, it's almost like they don't want to lose your attention for the first 10. Because they're just, like, walking and then, you know, talking among friends and, like, hey, look, boobs. And
I mean,
then
I have big tits and a tiny vagina.
It just shows a girl just, like, lounging, just, like, with her tits out. It's like, hey...
Hey,
and then they move
smoking
on.
Smoking on a cigarette. Is it? Okay. Quick question. So, another sidetrack. This is an episode. I mean, there's just not a lot here. There are going to be a couple sidetracks on Hatchet. Sorry, there's just not a lot to talk about. Is it hot when a girl smokes a cigarette? Are you into that? Do you like that?
I think in film or in like fantasy, yes. In reality, no.
So if there was some hottie sitting there being like, just, you know, sucking on a cigarette, looking at you and being like, hey, Bryce Hansen.
Like from afar, yes. Like, and I'd be like, I want that very much. But then I'm pretty sure if I got that, I'd be like,
Okay. Well, I'm into it. I like it. I'd be like, yeah. All right.
It'd be like if you like, you know, had a date with Kate Middleton. Who's the?
Are you trying to say Meghan Markle?
Some hot like model, and like, and then you put your arm around him. And you're like, you know, this is going pretty good. And then you just smell like some really rancid BO.
Like, oh man, that's so much better. Oh, you just made it intensely better. Oh man, that's my fetish. You made it way better, dude.
Are you one of those guys in those porns that are just sniffing their armpit? Just like...
Yeah, their armpit. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all gonna love
you! Oh, no. Speaking of which, this girl scratches her crotch.
Great because they set it up that, like, the guy had gotten crabs previously, and they're like, yeah, she was scratching her crotch. Well, that doesn't mean anything. It's like, and then she's like, he's reliving it with this girl. He's like, God damn it.
Yeah. The tour guide is a young Asian man who is pretending to have multiple accents. It's very hard to tell why. It's just kind of a mildly racist 2000s thing. You know, it's like,
I mean, seeing anyone try to do, like a Creole accent is always amusing. Like, it's a great accent to try to ham up.
Can you?
No.
Oh, okay.
But
no.
Yeah, like you watch Waterboy or you watch like, it's fun.
It is fun, but then they make him have another fake accent of like a super, like Asian, like I, like Vietnamese accent.
And that's when it becomes racist.
And that's when it's not okay. Because really, he just has an American accent.
Yeah. I mean, this is back in the times when Asians weren't on film. It was like, there was Long Duck Dong, and then...
What?
No one else. The guy from 16 Candles that played Long Duck Dong. You've never seen 16 Candles?
No. You're focusing on the wrong thing that I'm surprised by. The Asians weren't in film in 2006? Just Asians generally?
Yeah, there just wasn't, like, this was the type of part that they would have. Like, you would have the stereotypical or comic relief Asian.
This is problematic. You are being very problematic.
Well, that's why it's a problem.
Okay, but what about Harold and Kumar?
Oh, what year was that?
That's the exception that may prove your rule. But I've never heard of that. I don't know if that's a thing. Young Victor Crowley was played by...
2004. Okay. Well, maybe I'm wrong. But I'll say 80s and 90s, definitely. Like, they were put in a box. And I think Harold and Kumar really changed that. But this movie is not the case.
No. So here's an interesting thing before we get into the story of Victor Crowley. Go ahead and just take a look at the top cast. If, are you on the IMDb?
Uh-huh.
scroll down, 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 almost to the bottom of that.
Yeah,
top
the young
cast.
Victor Crowley.
Young Victor Crowley.
I was going to bring this up.
Played by Rylea Vanderbilt, who is a smoking hottie. I mean, she is just a gorgeous woman. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. She's been in other things, such as Mega Shark versus Colossus and Avengers Grimm. Also, Team Unicorn, Wonder Woman. Yeah, from 20... Oh, no, that's a short. She was Wonder Woman. But I thought it said she was part of Frozen, but I think it was just a knockoff.
No, Frozen... Okay, well, that's another thing I was going to say. The director of this, Adam Green, he did another movie a couple of years later called Frozen, which is really good. Like,
it's this Disney movie.
It's not the animated one. It's Frozen from 2006, and it's based loosely on a true story. Well, not even loosely, really. It's about these three skiers that get caught on a ski lift when the resort closes for several days, and so they're caught in the middle of the night on this ski lift and are going to freeze to death. It's great. It's like a very, very basic, like, single location thriller, and I haven't seen it forever, but I remember it being pretty good.
Okay, cool. Well, good to know.
And so it's kind of weird because I was like, I saw that he did Frozen and I was expecting a little more, and he's done basically nothing since.
So it's interesting that young Victor Crowley is played by a smoking hot hottie. I guess I don't know. You can't, cows don't look like cows on screen. We gotta paint horses. So that's what they did. Kids don't look like kids on screen. It's gotta be beautiful, hot ladies.
Yeah, I guess the story is she was in the makeup department and they like built the prosthetics over her mold and they're like, might as well just put you in there.
All right. Well, you know, so let's get into the story of Victor Crowley here. The story of Victor Crowley is problematic. As with most slasher stories, think back to Jason. Young retired boy is teased to death and allowed to drown in a lake due to the neglect of teens around in the camp. Problematic. Freddy Krueger is a pedophile who then comes back to kill and probably have sex with little kids in their sleep. Problematic. Michael is, I mean, he's Michael. That's problematic. So no different here. We have a young retired boy, Victor, who's just sweet as pie, and all the young townsfolk make fun of him because of the way he is and looks, which is kind of, really, really special. Mm-hmm. Very, very special. Mm-hmm. And very lumpy. He's got a bit of lump about him. Have you seen that? Speaking of the presidency of the United States of America, that song Lump, mm-hmm. basically the theme song for Victor. Mm-hmm.
Lump sat alone in a buggy marsh.
Yeah. And it's played by a girl, so Lump being a girl in the song mm-hmm. is okay. So Victor one day is just sitting in his one night is sitting alone in his cabin. The kids are trying to rouse him out of the cabin by tossing fireworks in and around the cabin, to spook him, jostle him, get him to run out and be like, instead they just end up lighting the cabin on fire with him inside. Victor's dad comes home and is like, my boy. And he starts chopping down the front door with a hatchet. But unbeknownst to him, young Vic is pressing himself up against that door. Oops. gets a hatchet from his dad to the face. His dad loves him very much, feels bad about the whole thing, and now Victor's dead. But not gone. He's a ghost, we think. Like a ghost that can reach out and touch Faith. And so that's what we're dealing with, is like questionable ghost that can't, that is in physical form, can be hurt, but is very regenerative. So like,
I mean, I think let's not overthink it. It's basically Bayou Jason.
That's, yeah, it's definitely Bayou Jason, but with a lot of talk of ghosts. Like, is the poltergeist? You know, they're doing a lot of this to say he's a ghost, so it's...
I mean, it's definitely physical, though. I mean, they hurt him.
That's what they're, I'm saying.
Step on his arm. So.
That's what I'm saying. What do you know about ghosts, Bryce, honestly?
As much as experts do.
Well, you know what I know.
Oh, hey ho, I call it squirrel.
That's right.
Oh, hey ho, I call it
squirrel. Oh, hey ho, I call it. It's a ghost.
It's Victor Crowley. And so that's kind of the lore behind Victor. I mean, I think you and I could do better. Give us an hour or two. I think we could come up with a little bit more compelling, or as compelling at least, of a backstory for a villain.
Sure. I mean, it's so basic. I mean, I don't... See, that's the thing. I don't care. It fulfills its purpose, which is to put out a low-budget horror movie that highlights practical effects.
Okay, I'm coming up with one right now. Okay, we have a doctor. He's a plastic surgeon who is the best boob guy in all of Southern California, making him the best boob guy in all of the world. And he is a happy man, obviously, and lives a happy life, but he goes on a cruise, right? Because he's so rich and so good at boobs that he goes on a cruise. Problem is, it's a ghost boat, and on the ghost boat he gets eviscerated in half. He comes back to give young flat-chested ladies big gazooms against their will. Boom, I did it. That's a good slasher villain.
Okay. So instead of killing them, they like just walk away with like a great set of tits.
Yeah, but it's like it comes at traumatic. A price. Yeah, it comes right. At a price, right? And like, you know, there's people protecting
He's
them.
He's got to kill like, one of your loved ones to get to farm the fat for the implants.
Right. Not only that. Not only that, like. They're like, okay, so he specifically targets young ladies whose husbands or boyfriends specifically have a fetish for flat-chested gals.
Mm.
And so it's tragic, and so they, I don't know, this is horrible. But this is a slasher, so you can't hold me accountable because I'm literally doing the thing.
So can we talk about the practical effects, like... I gotta say, there's some good stuff here, but also some laughable stuff where it's like just gratuitous and probably the funnest way that you can be gratuitous, which is literally just shots of viscera thrown at trees. There's so many like shots of like, I'm gonna rip out something, don't worry about it, it's bloody, and then just chuck it on a wall. And we just see many shots of viscera and blood just like wet slapping into tree trunks and walls. It's like, that's just good American fun is what that is.
It is as strong a entry into generic American slasher as you have ever seen. It's just very meat and potatoes. Very, very.
I don't know, I thought it was varied enough with like the kills, like the guy's head getting twisted off. Other things. What else happens?
Yeah, what else happens?
He like basically rips apart the person in half just by like using his meaty hands to rip out organs and stuff.
Yeah, Victor is definitely like the spiritual successor of Jason. Mm-hmm. Just big, strong, oaf, hit, pull apart guy, you know? Just kind of sped up, I suppose. You know, he runs, you know? they light him on fire.
Like he rips off the black guy's arms and then takes his legs and baseball bats his body into a tree. I mean, it's just good fun.
One time, Victor was down for the count, they all thought, and then he wakes up and he holds a guy down and he just coughs cum into this guy's mouth for like 45 seconds of just like, cum out of my mouth and into your mouth. And so they just swapped cum for a long time.
I mean,
time.
That's the backstory that we need. Where did all that cum come from?
Where did the cum come from?
Like,
oh, that's a good bit.
Victor Crowley, like, you know, he's just coming home from a really, really busy night underneath the bridge and giving blowjobs for, you know, 5 cents a pop.
Where did the cum come from? Price is Right music.
And I got to say, later, the guy is shown throwing up, and this like gets a full point from me on my score because he's actually vomiting. It's not fake film vomiting. The guy actually throws up, and it's very apparent that it's real because you're like, oh yeah, that is exact. That's what that looks like. And it's not like, oh, a mouthful of pea soup dropped out of my mouth and I'm making a lot of noise. It's literally like projectile, like, bah! In the trivia, it says that, like, the director kind of insisted on it, and then they had to do a second take in which they, when she, like, chugged down cold, what was it? It was a mixture of cold clam chowder and orange juice. To be able to do it again. Like,
So that actually reminds me of a movie that was much, 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 much more difficult to watch than this, called Audition, that I think we're probably going to be reviewing next week. Holy moly, I was eating during that scene in Audition. And I, like, powered through. I was like, nah, I'm going to be able to make it. And then it got worse. And I was like, okay, well, I can't really enjoy my food now. So, I'm interested to talk to you about Audition too.
Yeah.
Anywho, watch Audition for next week or something.
It'll be a couple weeks.
Oh, okay.
Unless you're a patron, Patreon subscriber.
That's right.
You'll get it earlier.
Victor in lake, grab girl off boat. I have there's the end of this is just kind of a very abrupt. It's just like, okay.
She gets grabbed off the boat and then she's in the water. There's several scenes like this where it's like the shot is showing something that is apparently supposed to be communicating something, but makes zero sense because we're shown a shot of her like kicking at just some slight tiny twigs around her feet in the water. And I'm like, is this supposed to be communicating that she's stuck? Because obviously she's not. You keep showing her foot being able to kick at nothing, you know. Did that draw you out at all? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm going to be honest. Nothing could draw me out of this movie. I was never in the movie. You know, like, I didn't see. I was just Like, yeah.
She's like, she's like drowning in the water, but there's no reason for why she, because she's pulled out of the boat. So you assume like, oh, she can't swim it because someone's holding her down. But specifically, they show several shots of her not being held onto by anything. There's just some twigs around her feet. And it doesn't even show them, like, twisted or tangled in them in any fashion. It's just like, oh, no, there's sticks adjacent to my feet. How can I swim up?
I'm so sorry. I can't add to this. The end surprised me because it didn't seem like an end at all. It was just like, whoa. Yeah. And then it was done, and then the credits rolled. And I thought it was an accident. Like, yeah. I was like, fucking Tubi. And I started fucking around with it. And then it was like, no, that's the end. And
no,
like,
that's it.
Oh, whoa,
yeah. Apparently Hatchet 2 and 3 are just a continuation right off where it cuts off. Like, it's literally Hatchet 2 and 3 happens within the same night or the same couple days or something like that. So if it feels abrupt, good news. You got two more movies to watch.
So there it is. There it is. It was good. It was fun. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't good fun.
I thought it was good fun. This would be a good one if we're saying who would we recommend this to. This is definitely one that you could watch with a group of friends.
Oh yeah, this is prime time for watching with friends. Yeah, for sure.
This is like good enough to be enjoyable at some level, but bad enough to constantly make fun of throughout the entire thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, actually, you know, to that end, last week we reviewed Titane, which is a recording from a very long time ago.
April.
Yeah, nearing a long time ago. And that was very, very funny. If you didn't listen to the review of Titane, I don't normally do this, but... Uh-huh. We were very funny in that episode, so I'm just saying. Give it a listen. Moving on, let's get into our game for this episode. What would you do? I'm going to play it in with this song.
Can I see one today?
I just want to see one of your titties, girl.
That's right. In this game, I'm going to pose some situations that may sound familiar if you are a horror fan. You're going to have to tell me, Bryce, what you would do in these situations. So, simple premise. Just looking for your honest reaction. Like, what would Bryce's go-to thing be? Okay, here
we go. Right.
First situation. If you were trying to film softcore porn in the bayou on the tour in this movie, Hatchet, and you came into this situation where a ghost man who could get hurt but would then regenerate was coming after you, what would you do? You're the softcore porn feller.
I'm the director?
Okay. Yes.
I would go gonzo with it and like try to get Victor Crowley to sign on to the porn and just make it a real, like, you know, Bayou Retards and Young Sluts Part 2.
Ooh, you said that word. You said the word. Ding, 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 ding. That's our word of the week.
Well, we're talking about porn, so it's not, you know, if you find the word retard offensive in porn, then you're just kind of uptight.
But also in horror, like, I mean, we're talking about Hatchet here.
I mean, there's not a lot of pearl clutchers in porn when it comes to titles. I'll just say that.
There's not a lot in horror either, but they're real pussies, dude. The ones that do, that are out there, whew, man, just real diamond in the rough generational bullshit babies. Anyway, so cool.
Yeah,
so
I would embrace it. That would protect. I mean, Victor Crowley. I mean, he's just looking for. I'm sure he's just looking for some young sluts.
I don't think so. What would happen if like you tried to go that route, but he was like scared and confused by the concept, like offended, you know, by the thought, like a child, you know, like a simple.
I don't know.
Child.
I mean, this is a movie trope. I mean, you're talking about like, oh hey, monster bad.
Oh hey ho.
But monster also, you know. Sympathetic character. Mm-hmm. It's like it's the old King Kong. It's like King Kong also just wanted, you know.
Yeah, that big finger coming
girl,
in that window.
You know?
That big finger coming in
it's
the
what
window.
Will, it's what will tame the wild beast.
Finger in the window. yeah, no, okay. Yeah, that's a good I think it'd be, if it were me, it would turn into Blair Witch. Like that, it'd just be. I'd just be like, run away, and specifically, I would get away from water. I just do not like the idea of the bayou at night. It is a very scary concept, a place for me, because there's probably water everywhere. You know, like you could get on land, but it's surrounded by water land. Kind of ironic that I live on an island now. I didn't think about this. I did not think this through.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, no. Okay, next situation. If you were a teenager trying to sleep, but this pedo sleep demon kept trying to kill you in your sleep, what would you do, Bryce?
Oh, so Freddy Krueger?
Yeah, so if you were just trying to sleep and you were a kid, you know, a teen, and Freddy was like, hey, Bryce, looking to motorboat them cheeks, and you were like, ah! How would you respond?
I mean, I feel like I'd do the same thing that the kids in the movie did, which was just try to stave off sleep for as long as possible until you go insane and fall asleep and you're helpless.
Doesn't seem like a good plan to me.
It's not it's not a winnable situation. Like,
I think it might be. Let me tell you how.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, real freaks. Okay, this just goes back to what our good friend and producer told us about crazy people in Portland. Like, what do you do about when you run up against crazy?
Oh, right.
Act crazier than the crazy people. So I think you can do the same thing with crazy pedo sleep demons and just be, like, super into it. Just be like, yeah but do you have any, like...
full Lolita. You're like, oh, I'm going to seduce Freddy.
Yeah, and then he'll be like, oh, no, ew, you want it? Oh, and be like, yeah, I'm so young. Oh, look at how young I am and into this. And then he'd just be like, oh, good Lord. And then maybe you'd freak him out. Maybe you'd snap him out of it.
It's a valid strategy. It's a bold strategy. Let's see how it pans out.
yeah, it could go real bad, right? Yeah, it could. Hmm. I'll take that. Next situation. If you lived in a town where a guy put on a Star Trek mask and started killing mostly women, then you, young Bryce, what's your reaction?
How young? I mean, right now? Like 40-year-old Bryce?
No, young Bryce Hansen.
How young?
You know, Laurie Strode.
Oh, Star Trek mask. So it's Halloween.
Yeah.
So I'm getting babysat. My babysitter might be killed.
Right.
I would call 911.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a lot of police cars show up, is there?
Yeah, not a lot of people are calling 911 when they're running up against murder.
Haddonfield is a town full of inept idiots. Right? Is it a real town?
Well, it's where evil lives. You know, evil lives there.
Oh, Haddonfield. Oh, is a township in New Jersey in real life, but no, we're thinking of Haddonfield, Illinois, which doesn't appear to be a thing.
What would you do in that situation?
That's a good question. I feel like you could really kind of. I think it would be funny to go home alone with it, and then you know just set up a bunch of little booby traps and paint cans and. and you know, make the steps icy, you know.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, that's valid. Yeah, that's a good idea.
It'd be an interesting thing to see, like Home Alone versus Michael. So I think that'd be...
I feel like the answer for that, though, is like you'd have this montage of Kevin McAllister setting up all these traps and like putting the torch on the door knob and like icing the steps and putting nails on the basement steps and the ornaments by the window, and he'd be upstairs and be like, now we're just biding my time, and then the camera shows Michael Myers standing right behind him and just rips his head off. It's like, that's just not how Michael Myers works, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I still can't get over the coolest kill that I think Michael ever did was in Halloween Kills, where he breaks the halogen light bulb in half and stabs that lady up through the neck with it. Halogen light bulb. It's like, oh, it's so creative and disgusting, but so creative. Okay, if you went to scout camp around a lake and were chased by a mama's boy who is still damp from drowning, what then, Bryce? You're a camp counselor. You're Bryce.
I mean, we're talking about Jason from the last scene of Friday the 13th, or...
It's kind of just Jason generally, you know.
So Jason, hockey mask Jason.
Yeah, Crystal Lake, yeah.
I would call up my mommy and ask her to pick me up. I'd just be like...
Let's say it's in New Jersey.
Hello, Mutta. Hello, Fada. Here I am at Camp Crystal Lake. And I would just write home and be like, it's not working out. Like, I can't sleep. All the other boys are picking on me. And also, there's a guy in a hockey mask killing us one by one. Can I please come home?
Okay, that's valid.
And in 3 to 4 days, maybe,
Tommy Hansen would show up and be like, Bryce, are you okay? I got a weird message. For some reason, I have this accent.
So I go, what does Jason hate? And I go, premarital sex. And
not a problem, Jason.
Promiscuity. And so I think my move would be to find the condoms and then jack off all the guys until they got hard and then put the condoms on them to show that I was concerned about their sexual health. And that for me, good time.
So that's, I mean, so just a regular scout camp for you.
Okay, if you're a kid attacked by a doll that was possessed by a serial killer, you know, if you were just a kid and you got a doll for Christmas, but it turned out that doll had a serial killer's soul inside because of a voodoo hex thing. What right. then? You're little Bryce. You got a Chucky doll. Go.
I mean, I feel like realistically, and this is what I always come across with Child's Play, is I would just punt that motherfucker across the room anytime it got close to me.
He's so strong and wiry, you know? Like, he's got moves.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe if he has supernatural strength, but I still feel like if you get a good swift kick in, like, it won't give him enough time to latch on.
That's a good
point.
And
even if he's holding a knife, like, it'd be pretty hard to angle a stab, like, if you just get a one swift punt, you know?
I've always said, conceptually, Child's Play disturbs me the most. It's a creepy concept because this kid really genuinely loves this doll. And it's like, I love you, Chucky. And Chucky's like, I'm going to fucking kill you, you stupid bitch. And you're like, ah. And so that's a really fucked up scenario. So I think the thing I would do is take the doll with me to summer camp and then jack off all the guys until they were hard and then put condoms on their dicks to show that I was promoting safe sex. So that would probably be my move there.
Okay.
Well, there it is, you guys. What would you do? Go ahead and let us know.
You know, when all you got is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail.
That's right.
When you've got the skill set to jack off a bunch of little kids.
Whoa!
Like, you know.
What? Kevin Bacon was there, okay?
Oh, sorry.
The Baconator himself.
Jack off a bunch of camp counselors, I guess.
Let us know what you would do. You know, would you show how into abstinence you were, or like how would you handle these situations? Let us know on social media or by writing us at the place that we are. Thank you so much for listening to Horror Movie Talk. We really appreciate you, and we hope you come back next week, and we hope you bring a bunch of friends, and we hope you become a Patreon member, and we hope that you shop on our Amazon link at horrormovietalk.com/ or something. There's a button at the top. It says Amazon. If you click through it, then some of your purchase goes to us, because and that helps a lot. You think it might not, but it does. So do it. Special thanks to all of our Patreons, all the Taylor W's out there. We appreciate you. You guys have a great, great week, and call us at 682-253-4468. Bye.
Bye.
Good day, sir. Good day, sir. You lose. You get nothing.
Is that a raincoat?
It is. It is. It is. It is. It is. It is.
Wow, that didn't sound good.